I'm talking about a large circular object discovered in Egypt, currently residing at the bottom of a missile silo under Cheyenne Mountain. I believe you call it the Stargate.
This is going to be good, isn't it?
Welcome to Stargate Podcasts.
That's what I do.
I was not singing. I'd know if I was singing. I don't even know the words.
Stargate, it's a great big world. With a great big swirl and you step inside to another world. We're talking Stargate, it's a crazy trip. You can go quite far and you don't need a car or even a ship.
It's kind of picky here.
There's Colonel O'Neill and Carter and Daniel and Teal. Look out for that
I love that.
Hey everybody, it's TK back again. I hope you enjoyed the intro. The people singing there are writers Joseph Malozzi and Paul Mulley, along with creative consultant and director Peter DeLuise. I found that so hilarious that I just had to add it in. After going through six Stargates, meeting up with my Tok'ra contact, stowing aboard the Asgard ship the Samantha Carter, and doing some aerial scans of the planet, I finally found my co-host. And she's been busy tracking down the Furlings. So without further ado, I want to introduce you to my co-host, Ely. Hey, Ely, how you doing?
Hey, everybody, what's up?
So how's it been going with the hunting down of the Furlings?
Well, you know, it's kind of a tricky process. And actually, I have been making a little bit of progress, but it's kind of been interrupted by my video surveillance of Daniel Jackson and Major Davis.
Yes, women, you know how it is. Well, right now we're going to go ahead and give general reactions on Episode 1 of Season 10 of Stargate SG-1.
General Reactions.
So what'd you think of the episode?
First of all, let me just say, oh my god, I'm so glad that it is back on. I have been waiting months.
Oh, I'm telling you, it's just, oh, it's great that we're finally getting it, and it kicked off pretty good. I mean, my first overall look at it is, oh, I was sort of disappointed at the beginning because I thought that they might take the battle sequence a little bit farther, but as it played out, I got more comfortable with it, and overall, I think they did a good job hooking us in for a new season.
I agree. I think that they've done a great job. Like you said, the battle sequence, I didn't know how long that was going to go. They kind of glossed over that quickly, but that's okay because they kind of hooked us in with Sam kind of floating out in space and, of course, getting right into the berth with Vala. I'm telling you, that was crazy.
That was very different and very strange, too. And I'm definitely still digging that it's going a little bit darker than what we've seen Stargate in all the past seasons. How all SG-1 always comes out on top, and a little bit of the time they'll lose. But I'm telling you, we're just getting our butts handed to us.
It seems like they're kind of backing us against the wall this time around. We're kind of at a loss, you know? We've got all these Ori loose in the galaxy, and we're kind of, you know, stuck.
And hope is very slim, you know? It's not like there's, hey, we have the plan and we know what we're going to do to get rid of them. It's just everybody's in the same situation and we're not on the winning side this time. What we're going to do is we'll give you a breakdown of the episode. And after that, we'll go into our favorite lines of the episode, and then we will give you a rating of the episode at the end. So, on to Episode 1, Flesh and Blood.
Episode Review.
We start the episode with Vala giving birth to her child, which is Taken. We find out that this child will lead the Ori followers, and she is an Orisai, a human Ori hybrid. In the aftermath of the battle, Carter is alive and floating in space. She is requesting help. Mitchell awakens in a 302 that he escaped in, and Colonel Emerson and the Odyssey have returned. The ship is damaged, and the beaming technology is broke, and the shields are at a minimum. Cam returns to the Odyssey. Emerson makes contact with Teal'c, but only for a brief moment. Then the Lucian Alliance attacks Teal'c and captures him. The Alliance asks for the surrender of the Odyssey, or it'll be destroyed. We go back to Vala, who gets to meet with her child, who is growing up very quickly. Braytak meets with Landry to give him the news of what has happened at the battle. With the beam still not in working condition and by the time Sam's oxygen is almost out, Mitchell has no choice but to fly the Odyssey and float her into the flight bay.
At this point, we find that Daniel Jackson, escaping his ship in the previous battle, has ringed aboard one of the Ori ships where he is hiding out. Vala, having recovered from giving birth, goes to visit her daughter. At only a few hours old, the girl looks like she's about a child of 9. Vala gives her the name of Adria and finds out that the girl is an Ori human hybrid, and that she is as close to an Ori as is humanly possible. Adria then proceeds to try to sway Vala to the Ori's point of view, saying that the ancients are the ones who have lied all along. Obviously, this is unsuccessful. Meanwhile, the Odyssey, still not fully repaired, is faced up against 3 Lucian Alliance motherships, but is saved when Braytak and 3 Jaffa motherships come to help. Threatened, 2 of the Lucian Alliance ships destroy their damaged ship just as the Odyssey beams Teal'c out. Vala, back in her rooms after seeing her daughter, finds Daniel waiting in the shadows. Ranting, she fills him in on the birth and her genetically altered child, then tells him to hide when Toman comes back to rest. Over Chulak, Ori ships drop out of hyperspace and commence to send fighters down to attack the planet. Sam, Teal'c, and Mitchell join Braytak to go with the 3 Jaffa motherships to Chulak, half in hopes that they may find Daniel alive. After Toman gets called to service, Daniel and Vala come up with a plan to capture Adria, and Vala takes him to the armory to get him suited up with a disguise. Dropping out of hyperspace, Braytak, Sam, Mitchell, and Teal'c talk over their options, only having the 3 ships, and decide to beam a Jaffa explosive aboard one of the Ori ships, but it doesn't work.
Sam then makes contact with Daniel as one of the 3 motherships gets destroyed. Vala, trying to spring their trap, is interrupted when Toman brings in Daniel. Adria orders Toman to kill Daniel, but Vala gets in the way and is shot in the process. Adria heals her, and Daniel uses this distraction to stun Adria and Toman. Then the Prior enters to engage Daniel. Braytak, now with no option, decides to ram the Ori ship, which will kill them all. But out of nowhere, the Odyssey comes out of hyperspace and beams them aboard. Daniel and Vala then get beamed aboard also before the Prior can restrain them. At the conclusion of the episode, we see Daniel, Vala, Mitchell, Sam, and Teal'c discussing what they're going to do about the Ori. They come to agreement that they're going to need a new plan and a new strategy if they're going to be able to take them on, and this ends the episode.
Favorite line of the episode.
Now we're going to move on to our favorite lines in the episode. So Ely, we'll start with you.
Well, my favorite line in this episode was from Vala. It was when she and Daniel were in her chambers and they were sitting there and she was ranting about, you know, everything new with her daughter. And she was talking to him about how her daughter's going to be very popular in our universe.
She's been genetically altered. She'll be a fully grown figurehead in a day or so. If she takes after her mother, she'll have a pretty good figure too.
This is bad.
You're telling me Origin's about to become a lot more appealing to the males of this galaxy.
And my favorite line also came from Vala, and this is when she was talking to Daniel about how she came up with the name and the real meaning behind the name of Adria.
Part of her can't help but feel tied to me. She wanted me to give her a name.
And?
Adria told her it was my mother's.
Not.
Stepmother, witch of a woman.
I also have to throw in the favorite line of Vala scolding Adria, because it was just hilarious also.
Exactly. And as your mother, you will listen to me, young lady. There will be no leading of these ships and armies on a mass murdering crusade. Or else. It was worth a try.
Rating of the episode.
We've come up with a rating system for the episodes, and the rating system will be based on 5 categories. The 5 categories will be story, CGI, character development, humor, and entertainment. So we're going to start off with story.
In the story category, we gave it 5 out of 5 stars. I believe that they did a great job just picking up where they left off at the end of last season and moving the story forward.
I also like that the episode went by real fast, which means that, you know, they hooked me in and made me want more, and that's always a good thing. when you can go and compel a story to where I sit there and I don't even know that the 45 minutes to an hour or whatever has gone by is definitely a great thing. In the CGI category, we also gave it 5 out of 5 stars. The battle scenes at the beginning, and even with the Ori invading Chulak, I mean, it's just visually fantastic. I really enjoyed. Also, I wanted to just chime in about the sets. I thought the sets on the Ori ships were just fantastic. It looks totally different than anything that we've seen yet so far in SG-1.
Absolutely. I really like what they're doing with the followers of the Ori. I like the way the ships were set up and everything with the props. You know, Daniel in the armor. I thought that was really nice. And you're right with the CGI stuff. You know, the one thing I can absolutely say about SG-1 and even Atlantis as they've gone off on that is that they've done a phenomenal job with using all this for TV. I just think that they couldn't have done any better.
Yeah, that's always been one of my favorite aspects of Stargate is you get the quality of a movie CGI in a TV show, and I really think that they set the standard for that when they started the series.
In our character development category, we gave it a 3 out of 5. The reason being, at least in my opinion, was the fact that as much as was going on, all you really saw in the character development category was more Adria and her growing up and her relationship with Vala.
Oh, I agree. You don't get too much because of the battle sequences, and you have a lot of setup with it being the first episode, so it's not like they're moving on with the characters, you know, our main characters of SG-1. So, you know, you get Vala and Adria, which I found extremely interesting. The next category is humor, and we gave it a 3 out of 5. Why we gave it a 3 out of 5 is, like I said earlier, they're going a little bit darker with SG-1, which I'm enjoying. And you still have the nice pairing up of Daniel and Vala, which provides a lot of humor. And General Landry's in there too, given his nice little quips, which made it humorous. But since the seriousness of the story came into play, there wasn't as much humor in this episode.
Yeah, I agree. The humor, the comedic value of Vala and Daniel together is great. But I have to say, this episode, like you said, was a little more serious, a little more dark. But I have a feeling we'll get our money's worth as the season goes on. And our last category is overall entertainment of the episode, and we gave it a 5 out of 5, and I have to say, I was completely happy with it. I was entertained the whole time. Like you said earlier, TK, we sat through the whole thing, and it went by fast. It was easy to get through. I mean, you never felt like, you know, it wasn't going to pick up or anything like that. It was a great pace this time around, I thought.
Oh, it was definitely a wild ride. It just sucked me in, which, you know, I'm sort of biased because how big of a Stargate fan I am. But yeah, it just totally sucked me in, and I just couldn't believe it went by that quick. And I got to the end, it's like, oh, come on, you know, at least give us some more. But we get 9 more weeks, so I can't really complain. Now I want to take a little bit of time to throw out a new segment to you guys, and I hope that you like it.
Tips from the Tok'ra.
This next segment is called Tips from the Tok'ra, in which you'll get tips on all types of situations from my Tok'ra contact, Cora.
Greetings. I am Cora of the Tok'ra Alliance, and today we'll be discussing relationships from the female point of view. First, we will talk about the obedient mate. To keep your male companion in order, I suggest the use of a Zat Nikatel. A Zat gun comes in handy for the times when he talks back and is not compliant. One blast from this device makes for long conversations in which he can do nothing but listen. Every woman should have one. In the circumstances of tardiness and hostile temperaments, upgrade his punishment to a gold hand device, guaranteed for a quick change in his disposition. Do not feel guilty for damage you might cause, for the use of the healing device will cure him of all his pain and agony. In the case of a lover with a wandering eye and a roving spirit, might I recommend, with caution, the use of gold marriage bracelets. This will be sure to keep your man close at hand and literally dying without you. Use this advice at will, and remember, a lover made to obey is less likely to stray.
SG-1 News.
Yes, I have some news. It's not a lot of news, but a little bit. First, I wanted to cover some conventions that are upcoming. The Stargate official SG-1 con will be going on in a few different places in the next few months, and even into next year. First off, we have Chicago, Illinois, and that's August 25th. Then it'll go to New York on November 3rd, and then all the way to Burbank, California on November 17th. They're booked all the way into 2007, and in March 2007, Vancouver is scheduled. Appearing at the cons will be Michael Shanks, Joe Flanagan, Beau Bridges, Cliff Simon, Jason Momoa, Dan Payne, and Alex Zahara. So if you're anywhere near any of those places, I definitely recommend going to see the con. Next up is another podcast that I listen to, and it's all about interviews. I don't know if you guys have checked it out yet, but it's called Sci-Fi Talk. And if you want to hear some good interviews with Stargate cast members such as Christopher Judge, Michael Shanks, Dan Payne, and Colin Cunningham, head over to Sci-Fi Talk. It's a podcast that has interviews with all types of people in the sci-fi, fantasy, movie, and television worlds. All the interviews are insightful and really cool. And when I say a lot of interviews, I mean there is a lot of interviews at this site. So check it out. I've listened to all the ones on the Stargate cast members, and they're really great. Has Christopher Judge and Michael Shanks talking a little bit about Slack Twaddle and the calendar that they're coming out with, and a little bit about the show. So if interviews are up your alley, go check that one out. I don't know if any of you guys are into video games, but if you're on the lookout, there's a new MMO coming out called Stargate Worlds. It's underway, and I've been poking around trying to find some more information, and I saw that they had the StargateWorlds.com site up. And you can find just about everything on the Stargate Worlds video game at the site. There are articles and interviews from such places as IGN and MMORPG. They have interviews with Chris Klug, the creative director of Cheyenne Mountain Entertainment. There's also an interview with senior producer Dan Elgren. And I'm hoping that this one doesn't disappoint and it finally hits the shelves and gets completed. I was looking at Stargate Alliance, and it got canceled, unfortunately. I'm not much into the first-person shooter games, but they had all the voice actors come in and do all their voices for the game, and there's just not very many games that do that and do it well. And I was really hoping, if nothing else, that the storyline would be cool, and you would get a lot more just with the voice actors in there. And since that was canceled, I'm moving on to look at this Stargate Worlds, and hopefully it doesn't get canceled also. So I'll keep you definitely up to date on what happens with them as I get information in. But if you want to check it out for yourself, just head over to StargateWorlds.com. I figure most everybody out there has seen that the SG-1 has been packaged into slimmer cases for their DVDs. Has a little bit of stuff supposedly on season 10, and I'm not real happy about this. I don't know how everybody else feels about it. I mean, I have all the box sets of the other seasons right now, and I'm just hoping that when they put out season 9 that it will be in both. If anybody knows if the stuff on the new slimmer sets is worth it, which I doubt it is, drop me an email and tell me about that. Like I said, I'm just hoping for Season 9 they put out the fat box set for it. And I've seen rumors now that it looks like SG-1 and Atlantis will have Season 9 and Season 2 in August to be picked up for purchase. I keep on getting all different thoughts on that from a couple different sites, so when I get an official word, I'll definitely let you guys know. So I think that about covers it for the news. Well, that sort of sums it up this time. I'm still messing around with the format, so we'll see how things go in the future. I want to thank Ely for helping me co-host, and I want to thank everybody out there for listening. As always, you can send us email at stargatepodcast@gmail.com. You can leave a voicemail at our voicemail number, 206-600-5168, or leave a comment at stargatepodcast.com. And as always,
step through the gate and see where it takes you.